We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning here at Deira Vogie in Lisburn. And it's great to be back with you again for a second week to lead us in worship and to open God's word for us. So as we come to worship this morning, let's just still ourselves and prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts to encounter the living God. To prepare our hearts to hear what he has to say to us. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5 say this. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So we have come together this morning in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Another week and another kids talk and another Toy Story talk. Now, this one may be a bit easier to guess, but if you're home, I want you to shout out who these two guys are. Yep, you got it. This is Woody.
Yippee-ki-yay!
And this is Buzz.
Come on, Starker Man.
They are best friends. In the movies, they are a great team. And together, they go on some amazing adventures together. But they also get themselves in some pretty sticky situations. But no matter what, they stick together because they are best friends. And you know what? Friendship in our lives is so, so important. No matter what age we are, we value friends so much. Whether they're friends in school, our friends at work, or in our day-to-day lives, we value them so much. And the thing with friends is that we have each other's backs. We look out for one another. We care for one another. We love one another. We make each other laugh when we're sad. We're there for each other when times are tough. But we also fight. We also fall out, say things that we don't mean, do things that we shouldn't have done. And then we have to come and we have to say sorry to them. But friendships in our lives are so, so important. And they bring so much joy to our lives. And as Christians, as those who know Jesus, we have an amazing friendship. That's even better than your friendship with your best friend. Our friendship with Jesus is incredible. We can talk to him. We can get to know him better. When we're sad, he is there for us. When we're down, he is there to pick us up. He listens to us and he loves us so, so much. And he is someone we can come to and be honest with. We can tell him how we're feeling. When we're annoyed, when we're angry, when we're anxious, when we're nervous, anything. We can come to him and be honest to him. But unlike our friendships with those in our lives, he will never, ever let us down. No matter what, he will never let us down. No matter what we do against him, we can always come to him and say sorry. No matter where we are, no matter what time it is, we can come to him and apologize. And this morning in our service, we're going to come to a time where we're going to do just that. As kids and as parents and as adults, we're going to come to God now, our friend, and we're going to say sorry. We're going to say sorry for letting him down. We're going to say sorry for the things that we've done during this week that we wish we hadn't done. We're going to say sorry for the things that we should have done and yet we didn't do. So now we're going to come and be still. We're going to come to our friend Jesus and we're going to say sorry to him. So let's take a moment just to be quiet and to be still. And of all those things in our mind, so we pray. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 4 and beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you not plunge with them into the same flood of indulgence, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
This morning we are continuing on our sermon series in 1 Peter. And we're continuing on directly after where we left off last week. And we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And our passage this morning belongs together with last week's passage. And a way to think about it is that, think of your driving test. There are two parts of your test. You have your theory and you have your practical. So last week we looked at the theory. So the reason we live our Christian lives in a certain way, with suffering and obedience. And this morning we're going to be looking at the practical section, looking at the question, what does a Christian life look like? Peter, in last week's passage, turned our attention back towards the life of Jesus and to the days of Noah. And this morning in our passage, he is turning our attention to the present and to the future and considering how we should live as Christians. So this morning, I want us to consider two points. Firstly, what does it look like to live the Christian life in the present? And secondly, what does it look like to live the Christian life focused on the future? So firstly, living the Christian life in the present. And I think there are three commitments that come out of our passage this morning that we as Christians need to commit to in order to live the Christian life as God desires us to. Firstly, we need to be committed to being determined to live for Christ. Peter begins in verse 1 by saying this: "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin." I'm sure you've heard this before, but when we see the word "therefore" in Scripture, we have to ask ourselves the question, why is it there for? And this morning is to link this passage, as I've already mentioned, back to last week's passage. Peter is beginning by making an appeal to us to be like Jesus. We are to arm ourselves with the same attitude as he had. Jesus didn't endure suffering joyfully. In fact, Scripture tells us that he didn't. We read in Luke 9 as Jesus prepares himself for his final journey, the journey into Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. And it says that he resolutely set out. So Jesus was determined to go. No matter the cost, he knew what lay ahead of him, but yet he was determined to go. And what Scripture tells us, that Jesus was determined to do his Father's will. And we, as his followers, need to adopt this same mindset, to be determined to do our Heavenly Father's will. The temptation at times for us as Christians can be to think that following Jesus is simple. If we follow Jesus, we get what we want. Life should be easy. We shouldn't struggle, we shouldn't suffer, and we shouldn't be sick. But that is not what it means to follow Jesus. In fact, that is completely wrong. For us to be true followers, we need to identify with Jesus' life on earth. And that means his suffering. It is only when we adopt Christ's determined attitude will we suffer in the flesh and cease from sin. Now, this doesn't mean that those who suffer on earth and suffer in the flesh will never sin. That is not what Peter is saying. What he means is that those who suffer for Jesus, by their very willingness, demonstrate that they are determined to stop sinning. It doesn't mean that we won't sin. We all sin. We all fall short of God's glory. But our desire in our hearts is a determination for us to reject sin and to suffer as a result of it. Secondly, we have to commit to living in God's will rather than our own will. Verse 2 says that as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. This is a huge call to transformation, to change our focus from ourselves and our own comforts to heaven, and to playing a part in seeing God's will be done here on earth. And this isn't something that is easy, but it's something that each of us need to work on each and every day. For us who are married, this is something that we have to do every day. We have to put the needs of our spouse above our own at times. And my wife is very good at this at times. She knows I love football. She knows I love Manchester United. And I love watching the matches. It's my way of turning off and relaxing. But unfortunately, matches usually fall at the most inconvenient time for her life. That's so. They either fall midday on a weekend when she is off, or they fall at 8 p.m. on a weeknight when all she wants to do is sit down and relax. But for these times, she sacrifices what she would rather do to allow me that time. And yes, this may be quite a small thing compared to what Peter is telling us to do here. But the idea is the same. When we choose to do the will of God, it is by turning down the temptation that draws us to sin, even when we are desperate and think that it will bring us great joy and pleasure. Instead, we need to come to God. Come to God and enjoy Him. Enjoy the pleasure that comes from doing His will. And this will undoubtedly require us to live counter-cultural lives, living opposite to those around us, and even at times our loved ones. We are to be known for doing what is good in God's eyes and submitting our whole lives to Him. And thirdly, we are to commit to leaving our past life behind. Verse 3 says this, "For you spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, coercing, and detestable adultery." I don't know what it was like for you when you first became a Christian, but I became a Christian when I was 19. And I would say I lived a normal life for a 19-year-old lad. I enjoyed going out partying. I enjoyed hanging out with my friends, drinking, and doing basically whatever I thought made me happy, no matter what that meant for my family or for those around me. All I cared about was myself. But when I came to know Jesus, I knew that I had to completely give up that life. I wasn't strong enough in my faith to be in there and be with Christ. I honestly had to give up everything, my life, my friends, and to start afresh with a bunch of people I literally just met at church. I had to give up everything for a complete fresh start. And what Peter says in verses 4 to 6 here are so challenging and powerful. He says that people will be so surprised at our decision that they will reject it and potentially reject us. But it says in verses 5 to 6 that one day we will have to give an account of our lives to Jesus. All humans, Christian or not Christian, will be judged on the final day, and we will have to give an account for our lives. But for us and those who turn away from sin and turn to Jesus, we have the hope of His future promise with us, that on that day we will receive eternal life. And that is what Peter is calling us to do here. For us to live an effective Christian life, we have to leave behind all the pleasures of our former life and to find pleasure in Him. And we will at times fail. But when we are determined to live for Jesus, when we are committed to seeking His will over ours, we can leave the past behind and focus on living the Christian life that God wants us to. This leads me on to my second and my final point, living the Christian life focused on the future. Within this concluding section of our passage, Peter is asking us the question, how do we live our Christian lives with a focus on Jesus' coming? And thankfully, he doesn't just ask us this question and leave us hanging, but he gives us the answer in these concluding verses. Firstly, we are to be alert and sober-minded. Verse 7 says this, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray." Peter is being very clear that the final days as such are near. Every day we live means we are one day closer to the return of Christ. Therefore, we must be alert and we must be ready for that day. Some of us are awful at procrastinating, and I, for one, am probably the worst. But simply, we do not have time to waste because we don't know the day or the hour that the Lord may return. And this is Peter's warning against slipping back into our old lives. We need to be alert and clear thinking enough to resist all temptations back to that life so that we may pray. And prayer is key to all of this. We can't do any of it on our own strength, but only by reliance on Christ through prayer. It is only by praying to God can we see through the darkness that may surround our life and see the light of God's future hope for us. Secondly, we are to love each other deeply. Verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. What a challenge this is. Loving people can be tough, especially if they annoy the life out of you. And if we are honest, there are people in our lives that we struggle with. We struggle to love, and we let that affect how we speak to them, we think about them, or how we treat them. But the thing is, loving each other deeply is essential. When me and my wife were preparing for marriage, I'm not sure who told me this, but someone told me that love wasn't a feeling, it was a choice. And some days it'll be a tougher choice than others. But that is the truth. We choose to love people, even when they annoy us, even when they don't love us back. We choose to love them, and we are called to do so. Peter says that our love will cover a multitude of sins. And he isn't saying here that by being nice to people and by loving them, that our sins will be covered, because that's not the case. Only the blood of Jesus can cover our sins. But rather, it's an analogy. When we love each other, our temptation to sin is reduced. Rather than saying things about them that are negative, by pulling them down, or doing things against them that we shouldn't, when we love them, we are more likely to speak affirming words over their lives, to build them up, and to do things that will bless them rather than harm them. And as a family of believers in a church, we have to love one another so that we can encourage each other in seeking the coming glory of Christ. So thirdly, we need to show hospitality to others. Verse 9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And I'm going to be honest, I think this may be the most challenging and difficult thing yet. And in our culture is something that we at times fail at, and something that we need to work on continually. We all have busy lives, and at times the last thing that we want to do is open our homes to others. We'd rather chill on our own. We'd rather watch Netflix or football or even sleep. And a minister, John Dennis, says this about hospitality. He says, we practice hospitality because it is right. We practice hospitality because we are God's people. We share God's goodness through our home because God has shown his goodness to us. So quite simply, I want to ask, who will you show hospitality to in these coming weeks? And lastly, we need to serve one another. Verses 10 and 11 say, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God has given each of us gifts. And when we come together, we are the body of Christ. We all have different functions and roles, but yet we work together. And what Peter here is helping us to understand is that we need to use our gifts not to bless or serve ourselves, but rather to bless and serve others, and ultimately to give God all the glory. As you know, I love Toy Story, but an example would be, think of Mr. Potato Head. And think of Mr. Potato Head after he's been played with by a one-year-old. His eyes are where his legs should be. His nose is where his ears should be. He's got arms for eyes, etc., etc. It is an absolute disaster. Nothing is where it is meant to be. And if we are not a fully functional body of Christ, then there is no way that we can serve each other. And there is absolutely no way that we can bring glory to Jesus or prepare each other for his coming. So as we finish, let us this week examine the Christian lives that we are living and seek to commit to be determined to live for Jesus. Commit to living for God's will and not our own. Commit to leaving the past behind and focusing on what is to come. And as we do that, let us be alert and sober-minded. Let us love each other deeply. Let us show hospitality to one another, and let us serve one another and ultimately bring glory to Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you desire for all of us to be in a relationship with you, to give up our old lives and to follow you. And Lord, we ask for your help to live the lives that you desire us to, ones that are fully committed to you and seek to do your will. God, may we be focused on you and your coming again, so that we can live lives that draw people to you. Lord, as we look outside and around the world, we see people and nations who are struggling. And this morning we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ from around the world who suffer because of their faith in you. God, we ask, would you be with them? Strengthen them in their suffering and encourage them to be bold in how they worship and serve you. Lord, may their example and witness help us who live freely to worship you, to become more bold in how we share you with others. Lord, we pray for those in charge of these countries, and we pray that you would transform their hearts. Father, we want to pray this morning for your church and for your people here in Deravogi. We pray for James as he leads your church here. We ask that you will give him a refreshed time off. Help him to spend quality time with his family and with you. Encourage him and strengthen him as he serves you here. And we ask that you would continue to give him your vision for this church. And Lord, we pray for everyone who comes through these doors or watches online to worship you. We pray that you will help them to trust in you and to know you more and more each day. And may your promise of hope and everlasting life be always with them. And Father, we want to bring before you this morning our loved ones, those who are known to us who are struggling and need your help. And in a moment of silence, we bring them before you now. Father God, we thank you for each person brought before you. And we bring them before your throne now. We thank you that you know each of them personally. And you know exactly what they're going through. Lord God, we ask that your healing hand may be upon them. That your love may fill their hearts. And that they may come to see you even clearer this morning. May you reassure them that you are in control and that you are with them. And the collect of today. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and the light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of his grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning here in Deraboggy. And I pray that as you go into a new week, you may know Christ with you and that your eyes may be fixed upon him, your Savior and your Lord. Amen.